Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world. And we do need to know how to thrive in a toxic world because there's toxic chemicals all around us, and they are chemicals that can make our bodies sick. They're recognized to be toxic chemicals, and they're being talked about by doctors and politicians and even television shows. And you probably hear a lot in the news about this toxic chemical or that toxic chemical, and but maybe you don't know a lot about what they might do to you or what you can do instead. And that's what we talk about on this show, is how you can recognize toxic chemicals and what you can do to protect your health and happiness and productivity and having a great life, despite the fact that there's toxic chemicals out there, because we can do things to make our life better. Today, we're going to do something a little different than we often do. Usually, my guest is talking about toxic chemicals in a product or how you can make something. But today, we're going to talk to Joette Calabrese, who is a homeopathic consultant. And she's going to tell us about how homeopathy can help heal our bodies from toxic chemical exposures. Thank you for being with me, Joette.
Thanks for inviting me, Deborah. Nice to be here.
Thank you. Now, you have a lot of letters after your name. They aren't MD or anything like that. Can you tell us what HMCCHRSHOMNA is?
Well, they're all the courses that I've taken that are generally 3 to 4 years. I have to be at the on the premises. These are not online courses. So Homeopathic Master Clinician is the HMC. The CCH is a designation that allowed me, that required that I was present in a class for 5 years. I was in Toronto at that time. And then I had to sit for exams. The exams are rather rigorous. Homeopathic education is an intense education. It's not something where you do on weekends and occasionally here and there. Not that it doesn't mean that people can't get a grasp on this kind of medicine for simple ailments for their families on a day-to-day basis, but to become a clinician, you really have to put a lot of years in.
Well, tell us what happened in your life that you decided to study homeopathy?
Well, I began my 30s as a very sick young woman. I had had allergies as a young child and then had that wonderful grace period that many of us experience in our teens and 20s. And then in my 30s, I started to feel fatigued. I had asthma. I was experiencing depression and gastrointestinal issues. I was sleepless, even though I was fatigued. The list went on and on. I became sensitive to chemicals. Around that time, I purchased an old house and renovated it, and so all of the products that I was using were probably wrong. I'm sure they are. It's not a probability. Mm-hmm. It actually is true. It was a very prosperous year for me. I bought a new car, and at the same time, I was working for NBC, and they were renovating my office. So I got hit pretty hard all at once in my early 30s, and it really took a toll on me. But additionally, I was eating a conventional American diet. Not that I ate all that badly, because I've always enjoyed gourmet food and enjoyed making it, but I still was eating, you know, not as well as I could. And on top of it, I was taking medications for this or that. If I had a headache, I forgot to mention that, I had migraines. If I had a headache, I wouldn't think twice about taking something with codeine in it. And many of them in one day. So I think what I did is I very unceremoniously destroyed my health. Unknown to me and unknown to, of course, many people, we thought all of these things were safe, and so we just went ahead and did them. So it caused my whole system to break down. And I hail from a large Italian-American family, and I have a lot of cousins who are MDs. So, of course, I started with them. And as noble as their efforts were, they couldn't help me, nor could their colleagues. And so I went to Yale University, and they gave me a little of information, and they did tell me there for the first time that indeed what I was suffering from was some kind of chemical sensitivity, which, to be honest,
goodness,
I kind of knew that. and so they said, okay, stop eating this and don't eat that, and, you know, don't polish your nails. And, you know, they went through the whole gamut, you know, not to the degree that I ended up going, but they gave me some basic direction. But I was still suffering a great deal. I could see a little shifts here and there, but I didn't realize the depth and breadth to which this had affected my immune system.
Yes.
And so I started to study herbs and vitamins and started, now this is not formal study, this is just personal education.
Mm-hmm.
And in those days, there was no internet. We're talking about the, you know, the early 80s.
I remember that.
Yeah, remember those
days? I remembering having to go to the library and make Xerox copies of things.
Yes.
And I had to drive someplace. I couldn't just sit in my house like I do now and research.
Yeah, there was Mothering Magazine was useful to me in those days. It was a brand new magazine that was just coming out in the early 80s. Your books were, you should see what your original book looks like in my library. It's beat up. It's dog-eared. It's falling apart. The spine has just about had it. But one day I'll get it signed by you. But at any rate, that's what I was living by, and it most of the information I was learning was hearsay. There was no substantiated information that I could get my hands on at that mm-hmm. time. But then I inadvertently went to a lecture being offered by an MD who was from Pennsylvania. Now I'm in upstate New York, and he also happened to be a homeopath, which meant that he had gone to medical school and then had gone to homeopathic medical school. Not unlike what I had done, what I did years later. And it was inadvertent. I mean, it was just so happened, oh, look at this, a lecture. Well, you know, I'll check into it because you're desperate. You're looking for any solution.
Yes.
At the time, I was not able to work. I had to move back in with my parents, even though I had purchased this house and renovated it. I was a single young woman and had a great career, but I had to leave my job and move in with my parents. It was pretty severe. I had about 8 foods that I could eat comfortably. So I went to this lecture, and of course I always sat in the back of the room because you never know what somebody's wearing in their perfumes and deodorants, so I stayed far mm-hmm. away from them, and I listened to this man, and I was mesmerized. Everything he said was the most logical that I had ever heard. The bits and pieces that I'd been learning all along were useful. I believed in trusted herbs. I was making many of them myself. I was wildcrafting them. I believed in vitamins and food shifts, but nothing touched me like this lecture did. And I asked him if he would take my case, and unfortunately he was retired and he was just speaking from town to town on the virtues of homeopathy, and so he wouldn't take my case. But once I learned what homeopathy was, because I was under the impression, as many people are, that homeopathy means home remedies, when indeed it doesn't, and I'm happy
to... Well, it sounds like that, doesn't it?
Pardon
yeah.
me?
It
sounds like that.
Home.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Absolutely.
Hmm. I never thought that, actually. I just didn't know what it was.
Yeah. Well, he explained what it was, and it was a revelation for me. And so I searched until I found someone in my area who had trained in England in homeopathy, because at that time homeopathy had died in this country, in the U.S. and Canada. And I went to her, and within a few months, I was cured of the migraines, the gastrointestinal issues, most of the fatigue, and the depression. I was smitten. I was completely taken by this. And at around that same time, I married, and I wanted to have children. And I knew that the only way that I could do that is if I had my health in order. And mm-hmm. so it gave me hope. So I asked this homeopath, who miraculously healed me, after years, and I mean years, of going from MD to MD to MD, from drug to steroid to antibiotic, you name it, I took it. And I stopped everything. Actually, I had stopped just before I met her. Stopped taking all drugs. Because I reasoned that if I feel horrible while I'm taking the drugs, and I feel horrible without the drugs, I think I'd rather go with something that doesn't cause the side effects.
Yes.
And so personally, and I don't recommend this for others, but personally I decided I was going to do it cold turkey. And I did that just before I met with this homeopath. And indeed that too may have helped on many levels as well.
Well, we need to take a break now, but we'll hear more of your story when we come back. My guest today is Joette Calabrese, HMCZCH, etc., homeopathic consultant and educator. And I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. And when we come back, we'll talk more about what homeopathy is and how it can help you heal from toxic chemical exposure. We'll be back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and today my guest is Joette Calabrese. She's a homeopathic consultant, and we're talking about how homeopathy can help you heal from toxic chemical exposure. Joette, so tell us what homeopathy is.
Well, because of the prefix in the word in homeopathy being home, as I said, many people think it means home remedies, but then they extrapolate from that and often think that it must mean naturopathy or herbalism or, you know, using vinegar and baking soda and things like that, but it's actually quite different from that. Homeopathy is a medicine that is used throughout the world by MDs, lay practitioners, and even families, and it treats the person with highly, here's the key, diluted substances, given mainly in a tablet form, and with the aim of triggering the body's natural system of healing. In other words, it stimulates that natural ability to right itself. So based on the person's specific symptoms, the decision that the homeopath makes will match the most appropriate medicine to that person. So it depends on how the person is expressing that illness. So this is, as far as I'm concerned, this is the medicine we've all been craving, one whose aim is to uproot the problem, not cover it up. We don't want to sweep it under the carpet. We want to clean the house thoroughly. So whereas a drug does the opposite, and there are no side effects. So, for example, the first remedy that I was given by that homeopath who cured me of about 40% of my problems in that very first remedy within a few weeks, the remedy was called Nux Vomica. Now, Nux Vomica is a remedy that's made originally from a toxic substance. Interesting, because that's what we're talking about here today is toxicity.
Yeah.
So it's made from a nut that is quite toxic if ingested in its gross form. But homeopathy in many ways is actually a verb. It means to dilute, to actually dilute to the point where the toxic aspect of the original substance is eliminated while the curative aspect is brought to the fore.
So, now, I want to interrupt you just for a second because I think that this is a really important point. One of the things that makes the whole subject of toxics so difficult is dose. Because at one level, something could be vital to life, and at another level, it could kill you. It just take ordinary salt, for example, that we need to have salt in our bodies in order to survive. It's one of those basic elements. And yet, we could eat so much salt that we could die, actually. And then if you were to do something like refine the salt, as is most of the salt that we eat, then that makes it even worse. But there's, I mean, and also even water. You need to have water or your body will die within several days, I think it is. And yet you can drown. And so it's
a matter of the amount. Volume
it is,
matters.
Yeah.
And it's chemical on many levels. Those are poignant analogies. They're very valuable because, you know, even Shakespeare said your poison is your medicine, and indeed it can be. So
Yes. If
we find something in nature, and what this tells me, parenthetically, is that this is one of the best parts. And for those who aren't religious, please excuse me, but the way that I look at this is that God put these substances that are toxic, not toxic, slightly toxic, etc., all over this earth, and it means that there's a use for every single substance on this earth when utilized correctly.
I would agree with that. And I think it's also, I'm going to say something. You can tell me if you agree. I think there's a difference between how a natural substance acts in terms of its homeopathic benefit than a man-made toxic chemical. Because, like, for example, there's no safe level for lead. So would you, for example, use lead as a homeopathic remedy in its proper dose?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. All right. Tell me about that.
Yes.
How does
yes.
that happen?
How does it happen that we can use something that's so toxic in its gross form and can become a vital medicine in its homeopathic formula? That's your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, lead, if it, you know, we have many volumes of information on what lead poisoning creates. We
yes.
know this in scientific literature. It creates, it reacts neurotoxically. It causes an inability to think properly. It can cause seizures. It can cause muscular movement that is separate from thinking. It can cause a soporific feeling so that the person is very tired. That's what causes when is caused by a child, for example, who's eating paint chips that have lead in them. Now, if we get that lead, and this is, by the way, done in a homeopathic pharmacy that is regulated by the FDA. In fact, I also tell you the FDA was begun by a homeopathic physician. But
oh, really?
Aside from that, yes, one of the there were I believe there were four physicians who started the FDA, and the man who was the impetus and one of the main leaders was a homeopathic. It was Dr. Copeland was his name. Mm-hmm. At any rate, it is regulated by the FDA. This is not underground. This is not voodoo, witchcraft, people doing this in their garage. This is all done in homeopathic pharmacies. And it's done according to what we call the Homeopathica Pharmacopoeia International. So it's done the same throughout the world in all of the same homeopathic-type laboratories. They get a small amount of lead, and they dilute it and dilute it and dilute it. And between the dilutions, it's succussed. It's usually made, if it's a heavy metal, it's ground and what we call triturated and then added to milk sugar. If it's a liquid or it can be made into a liquid like a plant matter and can be put into alcohol, then it's made into a tincture. And slowly and certainly it is diluted and diluted and diluted. And at a certain point, something shifts. It becomes not toxic and instead the properties become curative. So for someone who is suffering from a soporific mentality, can't think straight, has seizures, etc., homeopathic lead, which is now called plumbum, because we use the Latin words, if you use homeopathic plumbum, and it essentially stimulates the body's ability to undo the like pathology.
We'll talk more about this after the break. My guest today is Joette Calabrese. She's a homeopathic consultant. I'm Deborah Lindad, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio. We'll be back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is homeopath Joette Calabrese. And you can go to her website and find out more about her and her work. She has a blog and a newsletter. Then she sends out tips about how to use homeopathy. And she's also written some courses, online courses, books, CDs, and she has lots of information. And you also have a practice, right, where you
yes,
live
I
in
have.
Upstate
yes,
New York?
Yes.
So people can go to you. And do you do consultations by phone as well?
Yes, phone and Skype.
Okay, good. So that's Joette Calabrese with an E on the end, .com. If somebody wanted to find a homeopathic physician where they live, how would they do that?
Well, you can contact the National Center for Homeopathy. They're in Washington, D.C. you can you ask around, too. More often, you won't find homeopaths in every city. In major cities, you might find several, but in most towns and smaller cities, it's pretty hard to find. So you start asking around. And that's why I'm so busy, as you said, on the phone and Skype, because many people don't have that available to them. But if you ask at health food stores, you know, the traditional areas, your chiropractor, which, to be honest, I believe everyone ought to have.
I agree.
Yep. Chiropractors, those who are in the alternative world often know homeopaths.
And tell me some things that people should look for to choose a good homeopath, because I think probably all of them aren't as trained as you are.
Well, you are looking for training. You want someone who's been in full-time, not part-time. You don't want someone who dabbles. You want someone who's in full-time practice for at least a decade. 2 decades is, of course, even better. The more seasoned, the better. You want someone who is clearly has a good education and is willing to share that information with you. You want them to be transparent in what they have done and how they work. But more importantly, you want someone who has worked with someone else you might know. So word of mouth is very valuable. That's why instead of going to the NCH necessarily, those are going to give you the list of homeopaths, but it's not until you talk to those around you who are also searching and have also found methods that you agree with will you find someone that you trust.
I've really found, I'm from Northern California originally, and I used to live in Marin County, which is the capital of alternative everything.
Mm-hmm.
And what I learned from that experience was that there are many good practices like homeopathy, but finding the right practitioner is really important. And that I want people to know that they shouldn't discard what is a very legitimate and valuable practice just because they might go to a practitioner who doesn't do it very well. And I know, like, one of the things that I do in my life is massage is fabulous for my body. I actually get a massage twice a week. And the massage therapist that I have right now is so head and shoulders above anybody that I've ever met. It's like an entirely different practice. And is so knowledgeable. So I just really want to encourage people that if you're going to get any kind of practice, including a medical doctor, that you really take your time and find out about them and get somebody who really fits and really knows what they're doing and can really get a result for you.
I agree, and I also feel strongly that you want a homeopath or any practitioner who's willing to teach you so that you can have some autonomy. I am personally
agree with that.
Yeah.
I have to say that again. I so agree with that. You know, I have to say this because I recently have been looking for a medical doctor only because I've been taking Armor thyroid supplement for years and years and years and years. And I have to continue to take it until I get my body to a point where I don't have to take it. And so, I figured out that a good way to do this for me is to go to urgent care, because an urgent care place will give you prescriptions, they'll give you blood tests and all those things, but they won't necessarily try to run your life. You know, they're there as like almost like an emergency room, and they're reasonably priced and all those things. And so I needed to go to a new urgent care recently, and I went to one, and the first thing the doctor started telling me was that I had to follow his orders, and he was so arrogant and so not listening to me that I just walked out, and I have never walked out on a doctor before. And I went to another urgent care, and I said, this is what I need. I need this prescription, and I need these blood tests. And he said, okay, here they are. You know, so
well, you know better than anyone, and I always tell mothers that the mothers, no one can match the watchful eye of a mother.
That's
and
right.
I don't mean just a mother who has a child, but also someone who tends to others, such as their dogs or cats. There's no one who knows the animal, the child, the elderly parent, like the woman, generally speaking, who is in attendance. And to dismiss that is pure folly and very unscientific.
I agree with you. I like having people who will help me take care of my own health.
Yes.
And
it should be a team effort.
It should be a team effort because, you know, I think that we go to practitioners of whatever sort they are, and because there's something wrong with our body. And in order to fix that, we probably need to be doing something different in how we live, and we need to be correcting something so that we're not causing that illness to be occurring on a continuous basis. Because if all you do is you continue to do what you do, and then you put a drug on top of it or an herb on top of it or whatever, and you don't change the thing that is causing it, it's like having this bathtub running over and you're just putting more fuel on the fire, you know? There's something you need to change about your life in order to get well. And so I always think that people should be empowered. We're in agreement on that. So I know that you have all kinds of educational materials and that you do like people to be able to use homeopathic remedies themselves at home. And you do a lot of education about that. So when we come back from the break, Joette, I want you to tell us about this blog post that you made a few weeks ago about using homeopathic remedies for pesticide exposure, because we're all exposed to pesticides, and this is something that each one of us can do when that happens inadvertently. Of course, we're not spraying pesticides around our house, but it's hard to walk down the street without being exposed to pesticides. So my guest again is Joette Calabrese. She's a homeopath. Her website is joettecalabrese.com. I'm Deborah Lindad. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com. And we'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Joette Calabrese, homeopath. Her website is joettecalabrese.com, and we're going to be talking in a minute about homeopathic remedies you can use for pesticide exposure. And she has a blog post with this information on at her website, and that's a good reason to go there. But she's got so much information about which homeopathic remedies to use for what. So if you've got car sickness or a headache or whatever, just go to her website and look through her blog, use her search box, and see what you come up with. So, Joette, tell us what to do if we're exposed to pesticides.
Well, let me step back, if you don't mind, Deborah, for a second.
Sure.
And explain that homeopathy, the word, the prefix home, actually means homonym or similar or like. And,
uh-huh.
And pathy, of course, means pathology or illness. So we're looking for similar illness. Okay, now with that in mind, when we think about pesticide poisonings, what we're looking for is something that causes symptoms similar to what the person is experiencing when exposed to gross pesticides. So what in nature would cause that has been made into homeopathic remedy, and we have over 6,000 homeopathic remedies these days that have been proven, what specific remedy will help with that? Well, one of the main remedies for pesticide poisoning is Arsenicum album 30. Now, Arsenicum album, and again, they're in Latin. All of these names of remedies are made in, mm-hmm. are the terms are Latin. And I might also add that they're not marketed like French restaurant names, like, you know, Lunesta or these words. Are, you know, I feel like I'm back at working at NBC coming up with the marketing plans of how to convince somebody to use this stuff. No, we use the real name. So it's actually the Latin name. And so when you look at what arsenicum or arsenic does to someone, it creates a jitteriness, a franticness, anxiety, fear, diarrhea, palpitations, rapidity in their heart, fast movement, panic attack. That's a common set of symptoms that is caused by either taking arsenic or being exposed to arsenic. You wouldn't take it, but being exposed to arsenic, such as what used to be found in deck wood that's used for patios. But it's also the symptoms that will be relieved and uprooted, better than relieved, by using the homeopathic version of Arsenicum album. So if someone is experiencing, for example, I have done it myself, when I have had exposure to a pesticide, and it certainly has happened. I used to live in the city, and I would walk past a sidewalk that, you know, on a lawn that had been sprayed. You don't see it as often as you used to, but it's still pretty prevalent in this country, unfortunately. I would get heart palpitations and anxiety and feel frantic and felt as though my gut was reacting, and I would go home quickly, take a couple of doses of Arsenicum album, 30. Now, the number after it tells us how many times it's been diluted. The letter after that, which is 30X or 30C, tells us to what power it's been diluted. Extremely dilute. Nothing remains on a molecular level of the original arsenicum or the poison. And it would instantly resolve the sensation. But it did much more than that. What's lovely about this is it doesn't just treat that episode, that event. Instead, it stimulates the body's ability to uproot the propensity to be so sensitive. So the next time I walk past a lawn that had just been sprayed, which, of course, I would avoid at almost any cost, but it can happen from time to time, I would not react to such a degree because I had used arsenicum album for when the episode occurred 2 months previous. That's gorgeous. I don't know any other medicine that can do that.
I think actually homeopathy is pretty amazing as to what it can do and how it does it. It just seems magical. But I know there must be some natural laws behind it, and I'm just trusting that because I do see that it works. And so what you mentioned a couple of other remedies in your blog post. Can you tell us what those are, too?
Well, I'm trying to remember which ones I had written up on because there are more than that, but probably Natrum Muriaticum. Interestingly, you pointed out salt earlier in the conversation, and Natrum Muriaticum is salt. And so many times...
And that is one of them, yes.
Yes, and so it is a remedy that is very specific for when someone has an experience with a pesticide and or any toxicity. So, for example, when I used to take our children to... a 4th of July picnic, and to see the fireworks, we would be blanket to blanket on this, at this park, and inadvertently there'd be someone smoking uphill from me, or upwind from me.
Yeah.
And they'd be smoking, and the smoke would be coming directly in our faces, and there was nothing we could do because there was no room to even move our blanket. So I would always take Natmure 6X before we went to this event, and I would bring some drink with our, for our children to drink, maybe some raw milk or something, or some kefir, and they would sip it, and I would put the Natmure 6X in the drink and have them sip it as well throughout the evening. And as chemically sensitive as I had been, and I'm no longer nearly as, I have small sensitivities, but it takes an awful lot to make me sick now. As a result of this, as far as I'm concerned, I still am cautious of those kinds of settings. Now, as we know, in the U.S., we don't have to worry about cigarette smoke nearly as much as we used to 25, 30 years ago, but it can still happen, and I always keep that remedy on hand for myself, and now, of course, my children are adults. But everyone knows about it, and so it is an excellent remedy. Now, what it used to cause in me, the cigarette smoke problem, was my eyes would run, and I would feel swollen. I could feel swelling in my lips. I could feel it in my hands and in my feet, and it was a sense of an allergic reaction. Well, what does salt do but retain water? So what the salt was doing in a homeopathic formula was uprooting the pathology and allowing my body to accept it.
This is so interesting. So is there a difference in quality between homeopathic remedies that an ordinary consumer would buy? Is there something we should be watching out for? Should there be?
Well, when I work with clients, I urge them to work with a pharmacy that I am closely in touch with. I like them. I trust them. I know who they're purchasing from. They don't actually manufacture their retail. They're a retail operation. But they purchase from the manufacturers. I love Boron, B-O-I-R-O-N. I love Highlands. And we see these products in health food stores, drug stores today. They're in Walmart, they're in Kmart, they're in Walgreens. They're ubiquitous, thankfully. It's becoming more and more day-to-day fare to see these homeopathic remedies. I've not found a homeopathic manufacturing company so far that I don't feel confident about. I've not researched them all,
but
I certainly know those.
So if somebody wanted to take a homeopathic remedy, they could go to their natural food store or Walmart and they could buy a reputable product.
Yes.
And how would they know what to take?
That's the part. That's the part that I teach families how to use. And I say families because most of the people who are interested in this, not that men, single men and those who are not, who don't have any husband or children, etc., are not interested. But for the most part, I skew my information towards moms because they're the ones who are taking care of an entire family, and they're the nucleus of the well-being. So I teach mothers, and as I say, curious others, how to know which remedies to use, which remedies to have on hand, how to own the top 50 most useful household homeopathic remedies, what books to purchase, what courses to consider taking. And so I have organized my website and my entire professional life around teaching mothers, mostly because that's how I started, because I was a mother. I wanted to know how to treat my family. I wanted to not have my kids take drugs. And so I've done it so far, knock on wood, successfully for 27 years. My three sons have never, and my husband and I have never had a single over-the-counter or prescribed medication. We have depended completely on whole, organic, nutrient-dense foods, homeopathy, and occasional herbs.
And that's the way to be healthy. We only have about a minute left. Is there any closing words you'd like to give?
Well, I want to encourage folks to not be overwhelmed by the vastness of homeopathy, because it is indeed vast, but to take one step at a time. And if someone is interested in free information, just to dip their toe into the idea, they can certainly contact my website, as you've mentioned. And we have lots of free information. We have a download for a free first aid chart. If someone's stung by a bee, what is the remedy, what's the potency, and how frequently. If someone hits their knee and there's a hematoma, on the way to the hospital, even, how do you handle things before you get even more in-depth medical care? So, and we have courses that, should someone want to get more involved, I have courses and books and CDs that I've produced with my team to help mothers and curious others become self-empowered.
Well, you're a great resource, and I'm so glad that you were on the show today. Again, your Joette's website is joettecalabrese.com. And I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. You've been listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio, and you can go to my website, toxicfreetalkradio.com, for more information about the show, to listen to past shows, to see how you can eliminate toxic chemicals from your home and your body. And that's it. I'll be back tomorrow. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio.